Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, author of The Living Spirit, Answers for Healing and Infinite Love. And today I welcome Daniel Parmigiani, author of The Magnificent Truth of Our Existence. Daniel is a modern-day spiritual teacher whose approach for healing emerged from the challenging events of his childhood and family life, suggesting to him that the key to unlocking the deeper reality to guarantee permanent happiness was within him, in his perceptions and his desires to let go of pain and reach for pleasure. Hello, Daniel.
Hi, Cheryl. So glad to be on your show.
And to have you here with me. Daniel, as listeners from Healing From Within know, my guests offer ideas, methods, tools for opening the mind and heart to the possibilities of reconnecting ourselves to the divine flow of universal energy and wisdom that is our natural birthright, and also is the means to look at ourselves inwardly to discover what we personally must acknowledge about ourselves and any changes we may wish to make so we can achieve a happier, healthier, and purposeful life experience. Of course, knowing who we are as energetic or spiritual beings and also physical humans is a very necessary observation for moving forward on this path of self-remembrance and creation. In today's episode, Daniel will share how, driven by intense psychological turmoil, a complicated and painful childhood, Daniel discovered within himself a much deeper reality that not only saved his life, but showed him the way to continuing happiness and inner peace on a regular basis. We will discover certain important truths, and the first one is: the prime motivation for all of us is the absolute drive to feel better. Daniel, can you tell us something of the conditions in your family and certain events that made your life emotionally charged when you were a boy and may have caused some physical issues for you as well? You may want to discuss your brother, father, and the fact that your father had a difficult childhood and that may have affected his interaction with you and further distanced you from feeling safe and comfortable in your family life. So tell us something about your earlier life.
Yes, of course. Well, my childhood was normal, like anybody else's. Actually, a very nice childhood until the age of 5, when there was a very traumatic event in my family, and this was the tragic violent death of my brother, my older brother, who got shot and killed accidentally, and this just turned the whole family upside down. Of course, there was a lot of grief, but my mother reacted in an unusual way. She felt terribly guilty about his death, and so began to make sure that nothing would ever happen to me. I was the youngest son by far, and I was the only remaining child in the family. So she started just overprotecting me and sheltering me, doing everything for me. And so I didn't know how to do my own things. I didn't know how to even comb my hair or dress myself. You know, it's like I did not develop, and I went to school like this. Now, this was in Venezuela, because I was born in Caracas, Venezuela. And the kids over there in school, they can, you know, if they see somebody who's like a big baby, which was what I was, they're going to start picking on you and teasing you and bullying you, and this is what happened.
Well, Daniel, so, it's no different anywhere in the world. People seek to find weakness or sorrow or unhappiness and to play games with it. It's very unfortunate, but children can sometimes be a little cruel. They don't mean to be. They just think they're having fun.
Absolutely.
I was a teacher, so I saw a great deal of these things, and we worked very hard many of the teachers to overcome and teach the children how to respond in a more compassionate way to everyone in the group. But it's hard because children will be children, as we know. So go on. So you developed some situations, physical situations, as a result of being, I'm not going to say overindulged, you were overprotected, and your mother had guilt, which she really didn't deserve, because, you know, we come with a life plan, we have a destiny, and things happen according to the way they must for each of us, and no one is really responsible. Yeah. We take responsibility for our own happiness and whatever situations come our way, challenges that we have to deal with. But she didn't know that, so she took this burden upon herself.
She did, and I also took a burden upon myself because I believed that I had done something wrong. Because another thing that happened is I wasn't told of my brother's death. My mother did not say what happened. She just said that he had gone away to study. He was 18, so...
She was trying to protect you.
She was trying to protect me from the difficult reality. But what ended up happening is I felt totally responsible for him disappearing, and I thought he didn't love me anymore, and I thought I drove him away. So for a whole year, I built this idea in my mind that I was responsible for Johnny's disappearance. Later on, I found out what really happened, but by then there was a lot of damage done to my self-esteem, and the whole idea of guilt was deeply embedded in me now, feeling guilty about things. I began to feel guilty about just about everything, and taking responsibility, feeling that everything that went wrong was my fault. I became extremely within my own shell, just terribly shy, uncomfortable in any social situation, social phobia. And they had to drag me to go to school. It got to a really ugly point where I just was just absolutely terrified of the outside world. And then at this point, there was a separation in the family. My mother and I left Venezuela. We came to the United States. I was 12 years old at the time. And this was at the recommendation of a psychologist, because my father... While my mother was extremely overprotective, my father was just the opposite. And he didn't really get involved until I was like 10 or 11, because he was a workaholic and he hardly had any interaction with me before then. But when he saw that I was in really bad shape, suddenly it hit him that there was something wrong with me. And he started really pushing me hard to get out there. You know, he was a perfectionist. My father demanded perfection of those around him and of himself.
He also loved you. He had had his own hardships in childhood, and he thought he was doing the right thing to help you shape up. Because as a child, I remembered I was a very sensitive child and would cry very easily when I would see people behave badly or do the wrong thing, because instinctively I knew. I was mature. My soul was mature. Maybe I was only a child, but inside I had a great deal of grace and love for life and people, and I saw things. So they would say to me, oh, she's just a sensitive child. We'll just leave her alone, and hopefully she'll outgrow it. So I kind of think you probably were that way. And he didn't know what to do to bring you out of that protective shell you were building for yourself, because the energy around you probably made you anxious internally and you got butterflies in your stomach. Many of the guests who have been on my show, extremely talented and gifted psychologists and scientists, neurosurgeons, were this way as children. Very aware and very unable to make changes for the people around them, because they didn't have the means yet, the words, the language, although they did have a sense of personal power and respect for themselves in life. They just didn't know how to use it yet. So I'm kind of thinking you were that kind of child, and your father just thought He would help you break out of it in a simple way, but it's not a simple way to develop and to understand the world and what's within us that needs to be explored. So it takes these challenges. Now, you go on to mention that the main message or mission of your discoveries is the same version that Jesus, Buddha, and all enlightened beings throughout the ages have perceived and tried to transmit to humanity. And you're right. I have a new book also, The Living Spirit, Answers for Healing and Infinite Love. And we do have the message. We do have the hope for people to develop a greater regard for themselves and life in general. So can you tell us what these spiritual teachers hope for us to learn through our challenges?
Well, yes. You know, I want to first say that my father, my mother, everybody involved in my childhood to create the situations that were so painful, I was later on able to completely forgive them and to understand that we all do the only thing we can with what we know at the time.
Absolutely.
We do the best we can.
Yes.
Because we're all seeking the same ultimate destination. It's a mental state we're all seeking. It's a state of love. We're all looking for love. We're all looking for inner peace and peace with our environment, harmony with our environment and within ourselves. Our goals are the same. Underneath all the superficial goals that we put, they're all the same. This is what enabled me to not only forgive myself, which was the key. I was ridden with guilt. Later on, it just got more complicated. I became an extreme perfectionist. You know, all kinds of mental turmoil.
Yeah, you picked that up from your dad, because we are in the energy of the people who raise us, and we do pick up certain beliefs and opinions, and then we spend the rest of our life discovering who we are so we can have our own opinions and lifestyle, which might be very, very different from our parents or teachers or relatives. Yes. Now, you do mention that many spiritual teachers share a common theme of cultivating unconditional love, compassion, non-judgment, equality, and it's a message of brotherhood and oneness, and our natural state of being is to understand the game plan of life so we can be the innocent soul beings that we were born. We don't have to lose this. We don't have to give up who we are because the world presents challenges. We can always draw on our inner resources of courage and love to deal with the challenges. And that's what you did. This journey of self-discovery was your vehicle to finding love and peace and real freedom. And I would like to read what you wrote, Daniel. The magnificent truths of our existence exist because I believe it is my mission in life to share these magnificent healing truths with others. The essence of my message is this: we are all fully entitled and capable of existing in a permanent state of entirely fulfilling happiness, free of any guilt or shame, and filled with unconditional love. The requirements are not possessions, power, accomplishments, or even recognition and acceptance from those around us. All we need is a simple but powerful shift in how we interpret ourselves and the world. The highest spiritual aspirations of happiness, love, compassion, and inner peace are simply mental states of awareness. Now, that's very important, the word mental states of awareness. Now, it's true, Daniel, the reality that separates us from knowing and living within that truth is the physical world of the ego and separation or fear. Tell us something about that.
Yes, it's a collective vision that we have that's very painful. There are certain beliefs that we acquire that we don't start our lives with. When we're small children, we don't have all these belief systems that are so negative. The beliefs that we are guilty, that we are not good enough, insufficient, inadequate, inferior to others. All these beliefs are what create our emotional and spiritual pain, where we stop loving ourselves, we stop accepting ourselves, and we start rejecting each other. So the way to return to our natural state of happiness, because I believe it is natural. If you look at small children, they don't have all our baggage.
No.
They have a clean slate, right?
Yes.
And what you have is peace. When you have no negativity in your mind, you have peace. When you have no negative concepts, negative ideas, where you reject reality, where you reject your past, you feel guilty about what things that you did. You feel you should have done differently, and you could have done differently, but you just didn't. You judge other people's actions, and you sense that you're inferior or superior to others. All these ideas are what create our mental turmoil. Now, if you're able to remove all that and return to that place where your mind is pure, and you sense yourself as a pure spiritual being who's never guilty, who's always innocent, because that's what really made the difference for me. When I was able to realize my own innocence, that it's constant, and that everybody's innocence is also constant, that we're incapable of being anything but innocent, no matter what we do, because
right.
We're all seeking exactly the same thing.
Yeah, the only reason we go into confusion, into a confused state of being, is because we accept the opinions and mindset of other people who tell us how we should behave and what we should do, and we start to question our own inner sense of knowing and the reality of what's good for ourselves. So, you know, if you watch children, what they do is roll through emotions. First they're laughing, then they're crying, then they're serious, and then they're absorbed in a book or television or playing with a friend. So they don't hold the state. In other words, if we learn to observe our patterns and our behavior, and when we see a pattern coming that will bring us pain or discomfort, if we take a step back, take a breath, and don't engage it, it will pass very quickly, and we'll be able to remain in balance and not go into something that in the past has disturbed or disrupted us from this innocent mindset that you're talking about. And I agree with you there. You know, getting back to talking about your father, when I was little, my dad said I was my own worst enemy because I was so sensitive and was so serious about what other people were doing or saying. And so in terms of that, we all heap upon ourselves this. But he didn't realize. He was pointing it out to me, but he had the same affliction. And he was a perfectionist like your dad, and he could not accept his own need to stop being his own worst enemy also. He often lived in the past, fearful of having enough, fearful of taking care of a sick parent, and then he was fearful of his own declining health. So what can we say to people about this? How can, though we're obsessed by freedom, many of us all want that and hope for it and wish for it, why do we not live in freedom but in fear? And can you tell us something about how we can remove ourselves from that kind of thinking?
Well, the freedom, the freedom that counts the most is freedom within our own minds, freedom from the prisons that we create for ourselves, where we judge ourselves negatively, we judge each other negatively, and we punish ourselves for what we ever did in our past. The guilt and the self-condemnation that comes with it, and the belief that we're not good enough, that there's something wrong, something lacking, or missing in who we are. That's what I try to help people achieve, is a different perception of themselves, an improved perception, because a perception that's closer to the reality. I found the reality of who we really are to be magnificent. We are magnificent beings. magnificent beings in the sense that we're always innocent. And I keep going to that because that's so crucial. Innocence is the key to being compassionate to others, recognizing that they're innocent too. It's the key to forgiveness, to real forgiveness. And so when you're able to see this, see yourself through different eyes and see everybody else through a different perception, you're able to escape all this negativity and the pain and suffering that comes with it, and instead experience the inner peace that we're looking for, and the happiness and joy and love, unconditional love, that is what our souls really long for.
You know, people are more good than they are bad. If they act badly, it's their behavior at that moment, as you said earlier, with the information they have, and perhaps a fear of losing love, losing a job, a fear. So when we help people learn to know that there's nothing to be afraid of, that every opportunity will unfold just as it must, and we will do the best we can with the situation, they will learn to know that we don't live in the past and we don't live in the future. We live in this present moment, and we try to make the best out of it. Now, you discussed pain and pleasure, and in my new book, The Living Spirit, as an energy healer and medium, I describe the two basic emotions, fear versus love, which relates to pain and pleasure that you talk about. I think pain and pleasure are from our physical life, and fear and love are more of the spiritual or emotional life. We are saying the same thing here, that to move past tragic lives, we've got to realize who we are, our inner being as spiritual beings, and remember that the way to find inner peace is, as you say, changing perceptions and outdated beliefs that hold us to, as a prisoner, to the past and to the needs of others. And then we can come more into our natural state of being happy and loving more of the time. The outside world is only a stage for us to recognize the beauty that's within us, the power, the personal power that's within us to create and manifest. Now, how can you talk about the ways to transcend our need for safety? And I think that's probably an unrealistic goal and unachievable, but most people want safety, and they will do anything to achieve a state of safety in their lives. And because of that, they will limit their lives from discovering the important values in life. How we can transcend our need for safety.
Safety is one of five common existential needs, which I call them, which we all share. It's safety, self-love, connection, meaning, and justice. These are the five needs we all share. And the need for safety is the need for us to see ourselves as more than just temporary beings with an expiration date. It's the basic problem that we have, that we perceive ourselves as something very limited. We see ourselves as these bodies, these personalities. And as long as we concentrate on this and ignore our true essence as spiritual, eternal spiritual beings who are always worthy unconditionally, as long as we see ourselves as just temporary beings, we will not find true fulfillment. We will not find true happiness.
I agree with you, and I very often feel very sad that I know that about 75% of the population do not really know enough about energy and quantum physics and an understanding that we are more than the body and that consciousness survives physical death, things that I am most grateful to have been able to discover in the last 20 years. In my book also, I'm trying to prove, as are you. So we will just have to help others by being and living the reality, not doing so much, but being this energy and this assured focus on the truth of who we are. And hopefully more and more people will eventually, if not in this life, beyond this life, and in other times and places, discover this reality, because it is a reality, and it is really the only reality that can bring us peace, harmony, balance, love, and a true understanding of the inner values of our soul and our soul needs. So we started to talk earlier about guilt. Let's get back to that for a minute, because many, many, many people are suffering one way or another from guilt, either that they perceive themselves or that has been heaped upon them by other people who are not able to deal with their own situations or issues, so they give it to another person. So many people live with feelings of guilt. How can we understand guilt? And how can we release past actions that have led to these guilty feelings?
Well, Cheryl, you know, the way to move on from any sort of guilt is to realize that whatever mistakes you may have made were unavoidable, given what you knew at the time. And so if you're now feeling guilty and just kicking yourself over something you did or something you didn't do in the past, an exercise I give people is to just consider these three points. Go back and think about the situation and think, you know, honestly, did you intend for things to turn out the way they did? And you will find that obviously, if now you're regretting it, now you're kicking yourself over it. No, you did not intend for things to turn out the way they did. You didn't know any better at the time. If you knew then what you know now, things would have been very different.
Absolutely.
And the second point you can ask yourself, would you have chosen differently if you knew then what you know now? And the answer, I would guarantee, is yes, I would have chosen differently. That's why now I'm so upset. I wish I would have chosen differently, if I could just go back and do things differently.
I also like to think that we are here to have experiences, and they're not good or bad, right or wrong. They're just experiences. And however
yes.
It turns out, there's no failure. So we did have the experience we needed, and we don't have to judge ourselves, feel guilty, or lack a moment of peace, because we will get through it if we have the right attitude and the right mindset, as we have been talking about in this entire show. So the key to your own freedom, as you say, and I agree with you, is remembering the magnificent truth of our being as spiritual beings having a physical life imbued with the wisdom of our heart essence. I want to thank you, Daniel Parmigiani, author of The Magnificent Truth of Our Existence, for sharing your story of a challenging childhood and your discoveries for the ways past, surrendering the fears and pain of any event, and always allowing the way forward to pleasure, happiness, health, and joy. For more information and to purchase this book, go to danielparmigiani.com. In summarizing today's episode of Healing From Within, Daniel and I have shared our views on ways to tap into a higher state of consciousness and awareness, which is really the only way to make sense of any painful or fearful events, either in our conscious or subconscious mind. The goal is to refine our perceptions, enabling us to realize our true power and potential for living in a happy and fulfilling state of being. Daniel writes, as we come to terms with the nature of the blissful mental state we all long for, we shall discover that such a state is available to everyone at all times. Happiness does not require any superhuman efforts, personal accomplishments, specific living conditions, or special entitlements. Instead, we will find that it all depends only on how we interpret things. All that matters is how we perceive ourselves and the world. In general, all mental pain results from the perception that there are things wrong or missing from our lives. So what happens when we hold the opposite belief? How would we feel if we understood there is nothing wrong or missing? Daniel and I would ask you to look within, to feel the delight of your own innocent and wise soul essence, and to respect your own needs and whatever choices you must make without judgment, self-recrimination, or self-doubt. Following the true path of spirit, one of self-love, forgiveness, kindness, acceptance, and joy, while conquering the old patterns of fear or pain, can lead you to happiness, pleasure, and love. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing From Within, and I invite you to my website, CherylGlick.com, to find out more about the authors and leaders in the field and about my new book, The Living Spirit, and to hear new and archived radio shows with leaders in the field of transformation, inspiration, traditional healing, alternative practices, psychology, the arts, music, science, religion, evolution, and human development. Shows are also available on WebTalkRadio.net and DreamVision7Radio.com. Thank you for joining us today.